Well, I am wired, huh?
Yeah.
You are wired. Elena, you know, she does deserve special thanks. Her father is paying tribute, but I'm telling you, I know I'm a handful to try and wire on the morning.
That was definitely funny.
Just to find me can be a challenge, yeah? You know, I'm Jeff Brumbaugh, and I'm one of the elders here. My wife's here. I might not get to give my testimony now. But anyway, just kidding. It's a blessing to see all of you here. It really is. And it's I know I invite people, and I know I beg people sometimes, but it's good to see you show up. I'm going to start with a little bit of a confession, okay? You're preparing a message, like I think Mike Furness said, how long you've been ADHD? And I said, since most of my life. But I was preparing the message in the fellowship hall next door, right? And I got hungry. Now, this apology, this confession is to the women of our church. There's nothing to eat in there. In fact, whatever it was, been there a long time because I thought I almost broke my teeth. But I went in and I found snacks for women's ministry only. Yeah. Well, needless to say, you know, I was there for most of the day, so I hit the snacks. But I want you to know, and I don't know how biblical it is, but when you take two, you got to give four back. So, women of the church, I did replace them. Okay.
Don't muzzle the ox. It's
you know, that's true, huh, Leonard? Anyway, what I'd like to do is have you all just pray solidly, and then I'll dovetail in about 40 seconds. But just what's on your heart and what's on your mind, and what we have to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you with the communication of prayer, Lord God. I know as I stand before you, I always ask for repentance, not only for the candy that I stole, but just the things that take place in my daily life, Lord. And I always ask that as I'm given the opportunity to come forward and share your word, Lord, that the mistakes are given to me, Lord. And all the glory be to you. I thank you for the opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, I started with my confession, so that's good. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to give you a little history first. It's written by Luke as a sequel to his gospel, about AD 65, 70 after the birth of Christ. It's an accurate historical record of the church, and we're going to focus on the church. You know, that first song I saw bold up there, bold, and that's what this is about. This church was bold when it started out. Acts also is a theological book that follows an order, and it has many lessons of living examples of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the song is the Holy Spirit. That's what's within us. That's what's within us daily. Oh, I thought you were waving to me, Kevin. It's a baby in front. Okay. No. It reminds me of relationships and the organization of the church who profess and believe Christ. But so many of us don't have a fellowship. We don't get into a fellowship often. It gives us the implication of grace, the laws of love, apologetic work, constructing a strong case for the validity of the claims that Christ made and what took place in Christ's times and the promises. You realize as you go through the archaeological, historical evidence of Christ, the birth, the resurrection, it's amazing. Birth, death, and resurrection, there's 27,852 evidences found in archaeology history today that stand behind that. And recently, I mean, within the last 3 months, there's been three more discoveries. It just amazes me. What's there to claim? We administer this call for the church to stand strong. And this is a representation of a church that stood strong 21 centuries ago. Does this apply to us today? I think of the pastoral search and the help we get from Sierra Community. And I heard the term used to me recently, well, you're pastoralists, but we're not Christless. We're here, and that's the center of the church. That's the focus. If you remember one thing, remember that, besides me stealing the candy. So remember that. I'll focus on chapter 4 and a couple verses from chapter 26 in Acts. It applied 2,000 years ago, and it applies to us today. The word boldness really captured my attention, that first song. And I was led to this chapter because of that. I start with Acts 26, 16 through 18, because Christ is speaking. What's going to come of us? And he's speaking to the apostles, but it goes down to us, saying, rise, stand up on your feet, for I've appeared to you and is still there for you. This purpose to appoint you as a service and a witness to the things in which you have seen me, to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes. We have people encounter us all the time. Open their eyes. We have opportunity every place we are. So that they may turn from the darkness to the light and from the power of sin, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What a price was paid. And it's ours for free. It wasn't cheap. And sanctified in faith in Christ. I was pondering a question as I look around and have the opportunity to be in the pulpit and be part of this church for almost 40 years. I was pondering why people show up at Tug Community. Some drive by and they see our signs. I've had that happen, and they see the signs. And they look at the campus and they have some events in their lives that compel them to check out this church. They come by to see it. Others find us because of our social media. They'll be staying in one of the hotels. We are a resort town. And what happens, they see they're looking for churches and we happen to come up either close to the property or by the Holy Spirit. So they come by to see what we have to offer. Think about those folks that come and don't know Jesus, however, willing to learn what it means to have a relationship with him. There are two groups of these people. Their world is upside down in life. They don't know where to turn. They're desperate. Things are going on in their life. Everything around them is falling apart. It could be a family. It could be finances. It could be addictions. It could be health. I've seen it all. I've been part of it all. Okay? I've been part of it all. So what happens is, it drives them looking for an answer. And a lot of times those people will hang in with the church, and they'll come temporarily, and then everything gets kind of, well, I'm okay now, and then they start to drift away again. The greatest number of people that find Christ in this place is because of you. It's not because of what I say or what I do up here. It's because of you, inviting and sharing your testimonies that led to this place, relationship with Jesus Christ. It will change as long as you're vertical. You've heard me use that. Christ is not through with you as long as you're vertical. So we're always learning. We always are growing through that situation. This becomes a main entry point because of you. It's not because of what we say or what we tell people by our examples of the way we conduct ourselves. And it's not about the knowledge or the statements you might have memorized. It has nothing to do with that. You know, finding a relationship with Christ is the key. And you don't know where you are. You know, you might think somebody's got more relationship than you, but really no. Now, don't use my story. Always feel free to call any one of us or talk to anyone. I look around here and I know a lot of your stories. That's the plus of 40 years. But I know things that have happened in your lives. I can share up here every Sunday. And share with loving boldness throughout your interactions with neighbors, co-workers, families, acquaintances. You might just be in passing someone, just going by. You'd be amazed, but that wasn't just by a chance. God had that plan. Living. This is what has led me to share the incredible boldness of those who travel with Jesus and build a strong church. We're going to focus on a bold leader, Peter Simon. He's bold in every way. When the apostles are mentioned, his name is always first. It's never James, John, and Peter. It's always Peter, James, and John. Mark 8:27, going to Mark Jesus' disciples are on the way to Caesarea. Jesus asked them, "Who do people say I am?" This is Jesus. This is a witness. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others will say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who's the first one to speak up?" "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Peter was bold to speak up without any hesitation. Always. Always. Sometimes like a bull in a china closet, but he was always there. You know, you think about it, before the crucifixion, Peter told Christ, "Lord, I will never forsake you." Christ knew that people were going to fall away from him. "I will never forsake you. I will be with you. Always." Later that night, what happened following the crucifixion? Peter did deny Christ, just as Christ said he would. Peter was discouraged because he had failed the Lord so badly in denying Christ. We get like that. We get like that. And it happens. Christ is there. Christ is there and remains the same as he did then. He remains the same today. Peter was distraught about denying Christ. Just like Jesus told him three times. You know what he decided? He decided he wasn't cut out for the job of sharing the gospel. He was going to go back to fishing. He said, "I'm not a successful follower of Christ. I'm going back to being a fisherman." You know, he's pretty bummed. You know anybody like that? Yeah. I've been there. I always tell folks there's a honeymoon period. You know, when you get into the gospel in church, and into the church, and you see everything and it's all beautiful, and then you see things that go deeper and inside into one of those. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, so you learn more. Think about your family. You know, there's been times you had a sibling or a mother or a parent who said, mother or father, "I don't want to talk to them anymore the rest of my life." That lasted about 3 minutes, but you did. So there's 11 disciples remaining. Now, what's amazing about Peter is he's going to go back to fishing. 6 of them choose to go with him. Again, showing his leadership role. Christ appeared to them, and this is what happened. This was after the resurrection. Jesus gifted Peter with a unique relationship and opportunity. Even though Peter seems to blow it, Jesus offers Peter restoration. With the restoration, Jesus reminds Peter of the continued purpose to bless and serve others. Wow, that sounds like a message that we could use today, huh? Bless and serve others. Listen, remember, we also are offered restoration, and we have the same thing. You know, our lives are going to have speed bumps. Don't let it become a heavy baggage that you carry around. Don't do that. But not all of us are like Peter. Is boldness defining our approach to sharing Jesus with others? What if you personally, it's just different than Peter? Maybe only those that are confident, extroverts. Acts chapter 4 talks about another apostle. So you think extroverts, outgoing people, like I tell my wife once in a while, when I get around some of you, I come out of my shell. So it happens. What if you personally see that you just can't do that? What about us that are introverts? Well, Peter displays personality as an extrovert. John is very humble, an introvert. We're called the son of thunder. Very, very different. John is also bold. Now, you may be like Peter, ready to engage with Christ at the forefront. Peter's always a leader and always steps out. When he's not trying to be a leader, he still maintains that. I'll bet we know some of our brothers and sisters like that. John's humble follower of Jesus. However, he supports Peter. Most of us fall somewhere in between. The personalities of Peter, John, somewhere in between there. We're going to find boldness in both these guys. And it excites me to see that because it's a learning lesson for me as well. And I go over and over and over, and man, I just go, wow. I can't get enough of it. John is so different from Peter. In fact, the good news of the gospel is by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John penned the gospel according to John. When John refers to himself in that gospel, he doesn't say, "I was there at the Last Supper." He doesn't refer to himself at all. No mention of a name, no mention of an eye. He says, "The one whom Jesus loved." The one whom Jesus loved. Humble. Now, Jesus loved them all as he loves us. But John was humble, gentle in his approach, thoughtful. Man, it doesn't matter what my name is. And he'd say, I'm the one Jesus loved. He is known as the Apostle of Love. So boldness is not just for folks with an extroverted personality like Peter. It's for those who lean towards a more introverted personality, slower to speak like the Apostle John. And again, as I say, you look at the range between the two of them, and we fit in there somewhere. We need a little bit of lead prior to going into chapter 4. In chapter 3, Peter and John are en route to the temple to pray. Acts 3:2-6. And a man lame from birth, who was carried there by his friends every day to the temple, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. This gate is called the Beautiful Gate, and he'd ask for alms, those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, and so did John. Look at us, they said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them, some money. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember, everybody was carrying him to this gate. He begged for a living. This was his living. He was crippled. So this man was healed miraculously right there. It was a healing that a whole crowd of people got to witness. Many, many witnesses. Many had seen this man at the gate for years, begging daily. This is called a public healing, if you will. A group of leaders known as Sadducees witnessed this healing. Judaism had several different subgroups. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So this talk about Jesus rising from the dead really sort of was like fighting words for them. They were angst. They didn't believe that at all. And that's where they begin their battle. They had Peter and John arrested. They spent the night in prison. They bring them before the religious leaders the next morning. And this is where I pick up the story in 4. We will begin in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Verses 5-7. On the next day, the rulers and the elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, and Alexander was there as well. All were of the high priestly family, and when they had set them in the midst, in other words, they're all surrounding the priestly family, and they're being inquired. They're in the midst. They ask, why? But what power? What name did you do this in? How could you do this? After they had Peter and John stand there and ask questions, they're talking about this healing that took place. How did these guys do it? The question to Peter and John, are you Pharisees? Are you Sadducees? Are you Hyssians? Who do you follow? In other words, what subgroup? What group in the Jewish lineage? Who do you follow? Who's your leader? How do you claim to heal a man? Imagine the pressure on them. Then, Acts 4:8-9, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man who was crippled from birth, by what means does this man have been healed? You're asking us. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. See, Jesus is the stone that was rejected, the cornerstone, just thrown off. The builders, which has become the cornerstone, is he. Now remember that the stone was rejected. And there is salvation in no one else, this is Acts 4:12, no one else other than the name of heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough. Acts 4:13, I think I have it. Oh, cool, you're there. This is new to me. I need you to blow this part, the board. Now, when they say, saw the boldness of Peter, again, boldness. Now, Keith had it that first song, boldness. of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Boldness. In other words, they were just fishermen. They weren't educated. They didn't have seminary. They didn't have anything going along that line. Boldness is time. Remember this word, time, with Jesus. How do we have time with Jesus? The worship service, fellowship, life groups, the service we're in. That's time with Jesus. Prayer is time with Jesus. It's so important. Jesus is alive. In other words, Jesus is the one name that God has given us, the one that has been given to us. We can find salvation. And I did Easter, I did the journey, eternity. This is what it's about, eternity with Him. You can be saved, you cannot be saved through any other name. We cannot have life everlasting by combining something else with Jesus. Whether it be works, finance, tithes, offering, it doesn't work. You can't do it. These religious leaders now are telling them to stop talking about Jesus. Have you ever had that happen? Somebody tell you to stop? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah. That'll be another sermon. We're going to read again in verse 19, Acts. It's Acts 4, and it's 18 through 20. But what I take out of it, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. In other words, what they're saying is from God. And these guys, this is a big deal. I mean, they're going to be threatened for this. Again, Peter displays boldness in this encounter. You know, this is a sermon within a sermon. But as an elder in the church and pastor, you know, remember this verse. We have seen and heard. They were eyewitnesses and they heard. One of the things that I always say, people come to me, I saw him. No, I saw him. You know, something going some way. Hey, here's what I heard about this person. I don't want to hear that. You know, this is what's cool. This is actually taking place and they witness it. If somebody talks to you directly, that's what you hear. If you see something in action, that's what your eyes take in. That's yours. Boldness is time with Jesus. Before we move on, let me say one other thing about our time with Jesus. We should be excited to tell others. And I got to tell you, I'm standing here giving you this message, but there's times I go, oh, no, do I really gotta tell this person? They're standing on the corner. We should be excited to tell others if we are in His Word. The Bible will continue to gain knowledge and confidence about our relationship with Him. So it doesn't happen with the exception of when you accept Christ. It's a learning process. It's constantly going on. I can remember we were in Hawaii and reaching out to people. It was on the main islands in Oahu. And I was looking for a certain group. People know me really well, know who I was looking for. These guys wore white shirts and name tags. But anyway, so I love them. And I see them, and then over there, I was right near the university where a lot of them went to school. And I'd go out and reach, you know, and I'd go talk to them. It was so much fun. I mean, just loving on them. You know, not loving on them, and throwing a book at them. But what was funny, the people I was staying with were of that faith. Well, they'd kind of left it. But they were, so I said, what happened? I'm sitting on their porch, and I'm going, man, I'm tired. They go, look, there's two more. And I said, I just can't do it. I don't know how many years ago, but I think, why didn't I get up and do it? I didn't do it. And it was true. Consider this, which is going to be more of an impact going back. Now, I'm sharing with you here some of my stories. Going back on a neighbor, a coworker, or a family member and telling them about what I said. Once they really know me, you'll lose credibility. No, it's about what transformed in your life. What has taken place in your life since coming to a relationship with Jesus, your experience. Your experience. It doesn't have to be monumental. It doesn't have to be a memorized statement. You know, and it's about maybe even your actions. The way you present yourself and what you do for others. I'll tell you something. I'm only going to share a little bit about this because my wife's here. I remember my conversion was on a Sunday morning, right? And I'm like, man, this is so cool. It feels so good. That morning, I went to school to pick up my grades, University of Nevada, Reno. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I was working at 2 in the afternoon for Nordica Loop. And I get my grades, and I just phone calculus for the second time. I was on probation. I said, man, that's a bummer. So the next thing I go to work, and I'm called into the office. This is actually on TV. This is actually on the local channel, one of our local channels. This is going back a lot of years. This was asked of me, and I witnessed stealing from the place where I was working. Well, if you witness it, what's that say? He didn't say anything about it, so you're part of the act. And I'm like, well, I'm informed I'll probably have to be let go. So I think, man, this is a bummer. So then I go, I'm living in an apartment in Sparks, where it was, you know, the Kmart, that's all I know. And I go, wow, man, I'm ready to go home. So I go in and can pick up my mail. What do I find in the mail? It's a Dear Jeff letter. It wasn't Susie. It was a Dear Jeff letter. And oh man, you know what I said? Now forgive me for saying this. I said, this is Christianity. This sucks. You know, and that's what you start to think. But think about how I built. You built from that. And when God opened up the doors and what he's given you. And you know, when you start looking at your will and do his will, man, it starts to rock and roll. Trust me, and this is what my point is. You will make adjustments. You know, you'll have a testimony, but as we travel this journey with each other, focused on Jesus, that's going to change. That's going to take on new life. Boldness comes from the fact that you spend time with Jesus, not trying to tell somebody else's story. You tell your own. If you don't think you have a story, go deep into your life. Go deep into the journey you've been through. I don't care if you're 20 or 50. Go deep into the journey through life. It'll come to you. And you know another thing that I don't have in my notes here, but a lot of times, Leonard, my number, Bob Daly, anybody, I can point to people there, I won't point. But you can call and just talk and share. And you'll be surprised when you do that, you'll realize, wow, man, I got a pretty good story here. So that's a key. That's a key to it. Sometimes you can talk to somebody. You will establish, God bless you, will establish a relationship. Jesus Christ becomes active in your life. Otherwise, if he wasn't, we wouldn't even be here. He's alive. Second key is going to surprise you a little bit. Okay? I'll give you two keys. What's the first key? Yeah, time. Cool. That's cool. Okay, the second key is it's a relationship with the church. With the church. It's a relationship with the church. I bet many of you have heard this. This is the number one. If I was to go and think of all the people when I started to talk to them about Jesus Christ, here's the one I get. I'm believing you, but I don't like organized religion. Well, how about coming to TCC and try unorganized? You know? Join us. What happens in verse 14 through 22? Peter and John are threatened. Don't teach, don't preach. You know, you think about this. This just hit me. This just hit me, but what's happening in public school system, in the academia community? Think about it. It's getting pretty harsh. They're threatened. It's going to be bad for you. That's what they're telling them. So Peter asked a bold question in 19. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they're being charged now. I mean, this is heavy duty. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. Remember, we said this before. We cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They really couldn't hold them. You got to realize there were other people fired up on the other side. Finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were starting to praise God. What happened? Man. So that's a lie. Again, verse 23. They prayed for boldness. When they were released, they went to their own people. and reported what the chief priest and elders had said to them. Own people. Own people is a change in the translation. You probably have it in most NIV, ESV, and even the King James New Version. But what it really means, what it states, is their church. They went to their own home group, their church, the people that believed with them. That's where they ended up. So that own people is their church, their home group, fellow believers. Peter and John stated, we're not able to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now this is going to their group. He just laid it out. We can't stop talking about Jesus. We know people like that. They saw Jesus alive. Remember, they saw him alive, walked with him. But however, the threats are very real from very powerful people. They could be executed, and they could be imprisoned. So the next thing they do, and we talked about prayer. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and seen everything in them, lifted voices together. That's prayer. They prayed. Why? What had just happened? They could be in prison. It's like you said, they could be executed, but they weren't. They went on. God, you created the heaven and earth, the sea, everything that occupies heaven. They know he can handle the problem facing them. They have no problem. That's the starting point. When we come to God with our prayers, that's exactly where Peter and John started. Acts 4:25, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plan this? This is a quote from the Old Testament. They attacked those who came before us. In other words, this just didn't start with John and Peter. This was a continuation. This has always been going on. Always. Before them. And are we being attacked today? That's one of the questions it's asked. On earth they attacked him, and here we are attacked. They attacked Jesus, right? The followers. So, for us as followers, it happens. But I can tell you what. You put on this armor of God, it's like Teflon. It's not going to stick to you. Acts 4:27-28. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. This is one week earlier, think about it. All Jesus was the hero coming to town. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. They're praying to the Lord. We recognize the attack is about to happen on him. The message is the same for us. These threats for us. They all came together to attack Jesus, and today you can see it. You know, it almost seems to accelerate today because of the media, because of internet. It seems to be coming fast. I know I can't even digest the information coming down. And you can almost fall anywhere or the other if you can find something pro or con in every aspect. So it's the same. So, on Acts 4:29-30, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness. There's that word again, boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. With complete boldness, no matter our mindset, extrovert, introvert, somewhere in between, we're to tell all about Jesus in spite of how much or how little biblical history we have. The Holy Spirit is with us. You know, I can remember one of my first encounters. It was probably within a week we went on a field trip, and I've shared it with you. But making a witnessing to a gentleman, ULR. I'm on probation. He's like the rock star student in geology, geoengineering. And I mean, he just laughed. We're on a bus going to a field trip to look at some antique rock formations. And you know, it was probably a year and a half, and I've told you this before. At 2 in the morning, I got a call. I was living right down here from the church, across from the church, on Sequoia Woodland. And he said, I'm on my hands and knees. I'm on my hands and knees. And he's crying. I mean, he's a big dude, Francis LePay. And he said, I got what you said. I understand. I have Jesus Christ now. So you never know. And a lot of times my boldness in that situation became, because I really didn't know anything. You know, I just told him. You know, I didn't have a history. That was 40 years ago, 38 years ago. Remember two keys, time with Jesus, what that means, Bible time, fellowship with other believers. Got to work together. You know, I got this is another one you always get. I believe what you believe, but I go it alone. You know, I have my church. It's on the mountain. I've done that. Hey, Sunday morning, it's fresh pop. I'm going to go up the mountain. You know, that's my God. That changes. Church serves a mighty God, concerned for one another. Promote love and good works. And the good work sometimes, you know what that can be? A smile. An ear to hear. You know, Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We have that. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting. Here's where the church is important. Don't neglect to meet together, as it is a habit. Make it a habit. Encourage one another. And all the more you see the day drawing near. Now, they're not talking about Sunday drawing near. They're talking about our day is drawing near. Okay? Don't stop assembling. Don't stop coming together. God wants us in a group like this, listening, teaching, praising, songs. And bring our concerns to his throne. We grow stronger together. I want to show you a picture. This is cool. Sue and I, you and I passed this and we didn't even know it. It's in Fish Lake, Utah. So, got to real quick at that. See all those trees? Those are aspens. And there's 100 quaking aspens. It's called the Pondo in Fish Lake, Utah. It's all along the road, 100 acres. Once it was thought those were 47,000 aspen trees in that 100 acres. 100 acres was just one tree. Just one tree. From the roots, the system came. This had to do with the ecosystem where the area was. It is the largest single
organism.
There you go. Erase that from the table. Organism. Forgive me, Lord. 47,000 sheets off. Now I know what you remember from this sermon. It's a great picture of the church. Each of us is unique. However, we are one united by our relationships with Jesus Christ. We are. And by what we do and what we see out in the community, the things that we have. We have a lot of opportunity. Don't let it slip away. Be quick to tell your testimony, and even quicker to listen to as people share with you. I know that's the only thing you have to remember. Tina, come on, give me a break. Did I spell it right? Oh, I'm going to hear about it from my wife. She's laughing. Trust me. I'm an old man. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity. As I said in the beginning, as we started into this message, Lord God, that give the mistakes to me and the glory to you. Because there's certainly a lot of meeting here. And it's I just am blessed to have the opportunity to study for it and to learn so much. You never stop learning. It goes back to, as I stated in the message, as long as we're vertical, you're not through with this. I know for sure you're not through with me. And Lord, I just continue to worship you. I continue in fellowship with my brothers and sisters here to let them know that I will always be there for them as long as you have me on this earth.